Now I'm going back in the book and forward in time. This is 1 week later, and I'm just going to read the last half of this section. Basically, what's happened is Marguerite has fallen apart, and Sam, her mother, has spurned modern pharmaceuticals and the advice of guidance counselors, and has decided to try to heal her daughter on her own. And she's done some research, and she has come across a lot of kind of older techniques. And she comes across an article by Edward Strecker from 1917 called The Continuous Bath and Mental Disorder. And it was part of a kind of larger movement, a larger Quaker movement that had to do with moral medicine, which, and I'm reducing it here, essentially was kind of using pleasure to cure mental illness. So bringing the mentally ill to a beautiful place with lush gardens and giving them a nice long bath and nice port and a little cheese. Wasn't such a bad idea. The other thing is that the carpenter with whom she's going to have this affair, the guy with the limp ponytail, has come to redo the bathroom in accordance with the dictates of the Edward Strecker article. And this section is called The Shutting Off of Sound Communication with the Outside World. And I'm going to pick it up kind of halfway through. The next day, the carpenter, Thompson, and a small crew arrived to redo the bathroom. They tore down the wall to the adjacent closet to make the bathroom bigger, ample space, stretched the existing window in either direction so it opened wide onto the fields and fields and fields that led down to the thin line of ocean, sufficient light and air, and they soundproofed the walls, shutting off sound communication with the outside world. Too bad they couldn't have soundproofed the soundproofing, Bernard said more than once, but Sam was usually a room or two away. Thompson and his crew painted the walls periwinkle blue, bluer than the sky on bright days, bluer than the ocean, so blue it felt to Sam as though she was underwater the first time she walked in. By the giant window they placed the slightly battered red divan Sam bought at a thrift store. She and Thompson, the hippie carpenter, Bernard called him, though Sam secretly liked his thin blonde ponytail and the way strands of hair fell out of the rubber band, tried different spots for the divan. They finally situated it so that it looked out onto the back pasture with the weeping willow, its drooping greenery sweeping the ground like a plea, and the occasional groundhog popping its head lazily out of a hole and then darting back underground. That's a lovely view, Thompson said, and Sam hoped Bernard heard him. As she looked at the side of Thompson's suntanned face, cows gathered at the fence as if to admire the handiwork, and Sam felt for the first time in a long, long time that she was accomplishing something. Yes, it is lovely, she said. Along the far wall, far from the window, for privacy's sake, Thompson and his crew installed the giant clawfoot bathtub, something Sam discovered at an estate sale. In other words, a dead person's bathtub, Bernard said, when he wandered in. Thompson gave him a funny sideways glance and looked at Sam, who only shrugged as if she didn't know who that guy posing as her husband was. Thompson told Sam she could begin using the bathroom almost immediately once the plumbing was done. As long as you don't mind if I'm around, tinkering, he said. He gave her a slight variation of his funny sideways glance, causing Sam to blush. No, tinker away, she said, and then cringed as she hurried out of the room. Only a woman 10 years older than he is says, tinker away, you idiot, she thought. She went to the kitchen and swatted herself with a fly swatter she usually reserved for swatting Bernard whenever he brought up the dead person's bathtub or suggested soundproofing. Before Sam gave Marguerite her first continuous bath, she placed a pile of the plushest towels she could find, towels whose colors Sam imagined were especially soothing, sunset vermilion, coral to go with the underwater theme, royal purple. Near the tub went the bookshelf filled with Marguerite's favorite books, the introduction of books, magazines, a few games and puzzles, and possibly a picture or two on the walls will perhaps help its monotonous appearance, wrote Dr. Edward Strecker. Where the Wild Things Are, In the Night Kitchen, Pierre, A Continuous Tale in 5 chapters and a prologue, as much Beatrix Potter as Sam could get her hands on, The Phantom Toll Booth, Mother Goose, Charlotte's Web, The Little Prince. She was still mad enough at Bernard that she left out Grimm's Fairy Tales, which included that scary story he read over and over again to Marguerite when she was a little girl about the kid who wanted to know what fear was. Over the tub against the periwinkle blue wall went the framed illustrations from the books, Max walking ashore to tame the wild things, be still. the little prince with his lone flower on Trafalgador, the naked boy, his in-the-night kitchen dough costume melting away as he sinks in the bottle of milk while the giant chefs with their giant faces look on. Oh, that Mickey, that racket in the night. When they are done, though she would never would admit this to Bernard or to Ryan, Sam did feel more maternal, as if she'd created this beautiful place just for her daughter. She would never have admitted it because admitting it would have meant admitting that she hadn't felt it before, that there had been years after she quit school that she felt more resentment than anything else, that she had felt nothing but relief the first night 7-year-old Ryan walked crying baby Marguerite so Sam didn't have to. But now Sam was able to offer her daughter this. So when Marguerite stood on the lip of the bathroom door that first time in her brother's Led Zeppelin t-shirt, the same one she'd worn almost every day since he left, and which Sam suspected had never seen a washing machine, Sam said, "This is for you. It's all for you." Marguerite hesitated, her quick green eyes becoming quicker still. She looked around at the blue walls as if they were starting to close in on her. Sam tried to keep her voice quiet as if she and Marguerite were actually underwater. Then Marguerite stepped inside, and Sam was surprised at how quickly she peeled off the filthy t-shirt. The song remains the same, and Sam thought, no longer, no longer. She would show Bernard and Ryan what a good mother she could be, and though she tried to hide it, there was a twinge of anger like sand in her shoes, mixed in with her strong maternal desire. Then there was her daughter, naked, her breasts, perfect little cups covered in goose flesh, her small, dark nipples tight from the cold air. The skin on her 18-year-old angular hips was smooth like Sam's when she and Bernard first met. There was a birthmark on the back of her upper thigh that Sam had never noticed. Why hadn't she noticed? Down the hall, she heard music coming from Marguerite's room, where she'd left it playing. A Graham Parsons song, Marguerite told her, one of Ryan's favorites, about a heart that is strong enough, tough enough. So Sam hadn't noticed the birthmark before. Still, what a gift this was, to see her daughter's body, a body that was once inside her own, and to feel finally, after so many years, that she was this body's mother. Sam watched Marguerite dip her long toes into the bathtub. Sam had tested the water again and again with her hand to ensure it was the perfect continuous bath temperature. And as Marguerite slid into the water, Sam felt it on her own body, the relief. When Marguerite leaned her head back against the rim of the tub, eyes closed, breathing peacefully, Sam lay down on the divan. While this might not be a solution to whatever was going on with Marguerite, and who was to say, what did that guidance counselor really know? She wasn't her mother. Why not try this for a while? Let Marguerite skip a week of school, let her stay home and rest. After 5 or 6 hours in the tubs, the majority of such patients became quiet and drowsy and often fell into a sound slumber shortly after being placed in bed, said Dr. Edward Strecker. 5 or 6 hours sounded a little bit excessive. Sam decided she would start off with an hour, tops. Still, Marguerite did fall into a deep sleep, right there in the bath. Sam turned her back on the life-saving view to kneel beside the tub and watch her daughter breathe softly. She listened to her breath moving in and out and thought, this could save me too. Thank you.